Garcia v. Gonzalez, 053993. Mr. Quincino?
Sorry.
No problem? You want to bring it with you?
Well, it looks like I spilled it all over the place.
Well, you can
fix it. Takes the edge off, yes. Good morning.
We'll get you a glass of water.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court.
The wheel is a royal we. She's not going to move, and neither am I.
Right.
Thank you.
We're a hospitable court here in the Seventh Circuit.
Thank you, Your Honor. William Quintana on behalf of the petitioner Manuel Garcia. In his petition for review, Mr. Garcia challenges the immigration judges and the Board of Immigration Appeals decision denying his application for cancellation of removal and ordering him removed to Mexico. The immigration judge and the Board of Immigration Appeals rule that Mr. Garcia did not satisfy the continuous physical presence requirement because his accepting voluntary departure interrupted his continuous physical presence. Mr. Garcia presents two arguments that his January 1995 stop and return at the border did not break his continuous physical presence requirement for cancellation eligibility.
Also, did he sign a voluntary departure form?
The record discloses that he signed some form.
Isn't it a voluntary departure form?
We did not know. The record was not clear exactly what form it was. It was some pre-printed form. The government did not have a copy of that form to present as evidence.
But whatever the form was, didn't it really constitute, or wasn't it really like the equivalent of a functional plea agreement or plea bargain, since he was given the option of voluntarily returning to Mexico or appearing before the IJ?
Well, no, our argument is no, but because in order to have a fully functional plea agreement, an administrative voluntary departure must be executed properly according to the government regulations. And those regulations provide detailed...
This is kind of an informal agreement between the arresting officer and the defendant. So he'll leave without going before a judge.
We see this as just another turnaround similar to the case Tapia versus Gonzalez in the Ninth Circuit, Morales in this circuit. We think that in order to have the fully functional plea agreement, you need to have a proper administrative voluntary departure.
If you listen carefully, the question was, as I recall, framed as equivalent to a plea agreement.
Equivalent.
The functional equivalent.
Right. That's correct. Well, in order to do that, that voluntary departure document must first be authorized according to regulations by an authorized officer. They give certain examples.
Did Garcia admit signing the form?
He did admit signing the form.
So there's no question that the form existed. You just don't know which form it was and that he signed the form.
Exactly. And according to the regulations, it has to be what's called a Form 210, which is an explicit form that...
you're not denying that it was a Form 210, are you?
Yes, we are.
I thought you were just saying that you don't know what the form was.
Well, we don't know what it is, but we suspect that it wasn't the correct form because one of our arguments is we're not even sure if the officer that arrested this individual was an immigration officer and whether he was an individual authorized pursuant to the regulations to have him execute the document. There is no evidence who this individual was. He had no uniform. He had no gun. He didn't arrest or handcuff my client. He was in an unmarked vehicle that did not have any type of radio control in it. It was a very informal communication between the alien and this individual. And one of the reasons we suspect that this was an immigration officer, maybe an off-duty immigration officer, was that one of the individuals that was with my client was his brother, and he was asked for identification. And he presented an Illinois ID, And on just that little bit of identification, he was allowed to let go, to leave, even though he was actually an illegal alien as well. In order to have an administrative voluntary departure, you also must inform the alien of the penalties of not departing, that is, being ineligible for any type of relief for 10 years, being subject to a civil penalty of $1,000 but no more than $5,000. Here, there's no evidence that these warnings were given. Also, the voluntary departure cannot be granted unless the individual agrees and the terms are explained to him. Here, my client's intention from the testimony was that he was going to go back and return. Well, if everything was explained to my client, he would understand that that would be an impossibility, because if the consequences and the conditions of that departure were explained, he would realize that he could not do that. Mr. Garcia also argues that in the sense that it has to be a formalized, documented process. And here, there is no evidence that happened. What we have here is that he was turned around by some individual, but not exactly an immigration officer. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't.
And then what's the best case you have for that proposition that, you know, it had to be a formalized document and that that regulation had to be complied with?
Well, it's part of the regulations that immigration officers must follow in order to effectuate voluntary departure.
And I guess what I mean is cases that may have interpreted that regulation.
I have not seen a case.
Well, our circumstance.
I have not seen a case, Your Honor. I'll reserve my time.
All right. Mr. Paolo?
May it please the Court, Manuel Paolo for the respondent in this case. This is a case where the petitioner altered his testimony in mid-hearing when he realized that his statement to the court that he had signed a voluntary departure order might prejudice his case for cancellation of removal. Faced with the testimony of the petitioner in this case, the immigration judge exercised his judgment and made the following findings of fact. He found, based on his testimony, that Mr. Garcia was detained by an immigration officer. The immigration officer told him that he had a choice. The two choices he gave him were to either sign a voluntary departure order and depart, or to appear before an immigration judge for further proceedings. The choice the petitioner made here was to sign the voluntary departure form. At that point, he was taken back to the border by the officer and returned in accordance with his agreement. The judge properly found that that was the functional equivalent of a guilty plea. In other words, he was apprehended in the U.S. illegally, and he was given two choices. None of those choices was to simply turn around and walk away. In fact, as counsel just mentioned, he was stopped with his two brothers and his uncle. The officer asked for ID. The brother produced an ID and was told he was free to go. However, Mr. Garcia did not produce an ID. He was not free to go. So here, under Rumblez Al-Qaeda and the facts found by the judge, an agreement of voluntary departure under the threat of removal is a break, a meaningful interruption, and continuous physical presence that's required to get cancellation of removal.
Well, of course, if we had the form, we would know for sure what he signed.
Your Honor, if we had the form, we wouldn't be here today. However, we do have his testimony, and despite his shift in testimony after the recess, the record at 96 through 101 is full of references on direct testimony by Mr. Garcia and his attorney saying we were given voluntary departure, the immigration arrested us, we were stopped by immigration, we were held in custody, we signed the voluntary departure form, the officer was waiting for us when we got to Arizona, we were held, we had the option of signing right there. He told us that if we would leave voluntarily, we could leave voluntarily or we would be detained and be taken to a court before a judge. I think the testimony here is ample to conclude that what Mr. Garcia signed was a voluntary departure form, and the person who accosted him was an immigration officer. And the other arguments that were made by counsel are strictly speculation about who this individual might have been. I mean, the fact is that there is testimony in the record from Mr. Garcia's mouth that this was an immigration officer, and that was his understanding until there was a recess, and then he shifted his story after the recess. I would also say that this is not a simple turnaround. A simple turnaround, like we have in this court's decision in Morales, is where the alien is confronted and not given any choices, but is unilaterally returned to the country of origin. Here, there was choices that were given, and choices that were made. And Mr. Garcia, for whatever reason, decided that in lieu of going before an immigration court because he was in the country illegally, decided to sign a form where he agreed that he would return to Mexico voluntarily and not remain in this country any longer. That's the bargain he entered into for whatever reasons. He has not alleged that he didn't understand the form, was not allowed to read the form. He had a brother there who knew English and was translating. There is no testimony that this court can base a conclusion that this was just a something that was stuck under his nose and he signed for whatever reason. The fact is he considered his choices, made his own calculation, and decided to enter into a voluntary departure agreement.
Counsel, is there any reason that you have no explanation as to where that voluntary departure form is or why it's unavailable?
Your Honor, we don't know where the form is. I would answer you this way. In this case, the burden of proof was on the petitioner. This was a removal case where the government had to prove that he was in the country illegally.
That the government can't produce the form or get an affidavit from the officer who allegedly performed the service.
Your Honor, if there was nothing in the record about the document, I would agree with you. However, there is evidence of record, which is testimony from Mr. Garcia, and that's sufficient. There is no holding, I'm aware of, that says that every element must be proven by documentary evidence. There was testimony by the petitioner himself, which was given on direct testimony, that he signed a voluntary departure form. Again, it would be preferable to have the form. I honestly can't tell you why it wasn't produced, except perhaps that the government was not aware that Mr. Garcia was going to testify that he'd been stopped in January of 95 and at that time and place signed this form. So I would say that the burden of proof here on showing eligibility for cancellation of removal is on Mr. Garcia, the alien, and part of that burden of proof means he had to show that he was in the U.S. for 10 continuous years prior to his application. And when he testified that, by the way, I was detained in January of 95, that it was his burden to show the particulars of that. I believe he could have requested that document from the government or subpoenaed it. But my long answer will end by telling you that I am not sure why that document is not in the record.
Because normally those documents are retained by the government and filed.
Your Honor,
do you know?
I don't know. I will tell you that in the this was a pre-ARERA case. This happened in 95. My understanding from reading the Aviles-Nava case, which was a turnaround case by the board in that case noted that now with the passage of ARERA, we can expect more or better documentation of all contacts with aliens near the border. So I'm taking from that that perhaps prior to ARERA, there was no strict requirement in that regard. But, you know, I'd also point out that there's the reference in the brief that they did check for fingerprints. Was there a fingerprint record for this individual? And none came back. I would reply that that's immaterial. In the Tapia case, which he cites, the Ninth Circuit case, which was a turnaround case, the court noted that Mr. Tapia, in that case, was turned around four times and was fingerprinted each time. So my point being that the existence of fingerprints or not does not indicate whether it's a turnaround or a meaningful interruption of his presence. So those are the three main points I wanted to convey. And I would also say, if the court has any concerns here that Mr. Garcia basically signed away his right to cancellation relief by signing this, the voluntary departure. Had he chosen to not sign the form on that occasion and to go before an immigration court, removal proceedings would have commenced because there's no issue that he was here illegally. And he and had that happened back in 95, he only would have been in the country 5 or 6 years and would not have been eligible for cancellation relief anyway. So the practical effect here is that he signs a voluntary departure agreement by his own testimony to get away from the immigration authorities and come right back the next day. So he's really signing an agreement he has no intention of keeping in order to come back and try to accrue the additional time needed for relief from removal. And that simply is not the purpose of voluntary departure. I would rest on our briefs and our argument and ask the court to deny the petition in this case.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Palau.
Thank you.
How much time? 3 minutes, Count.
May it please the court again. One of the problems with this case is that the only evidence is my client's testimony. And part of the evidence the judge finds not credible. He finds part of his testimony credible, but later parts of the testimony incredible, especially to the point where he's getting to the details of that agreement with this alleged officer that stopped him. And this case went through direct to cross, and most of the questions most of the evidence testimony that was discredited are the questions that the immigration judge himself posed, and apparently he was not satisfied with the answers. And if you look at the administrative record at 118, there's one vital question that petitioner's counsel asked the respondent, and that question is whether he believed that he was under the threat of deportation. And when the petitioner's counsel asked that question, the government's attorney objected, but the immigration judge wanted to hear that answer because he thought, and exact words I believe are, that's the issue of the case. So he allowed the answer, and my client answered no. But then he goes in his decision and discredits that part of the testimony. In regards to counsel's argument that when he made this agreement, his intention was never to come back. Well, that just goes to show that everything was not explained to my client as it should be. As an administrative voluntary departure procedure under the regulations should do, it should explain the terms and the conditions. Nowhere in the testimony are the specifics of what those terms and conditions explain to my client. He does not testify to that because they were never explained. And therefore, it was not a formalized documented voluntary departure.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.